Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Catskill regions. If you have had an episode of severe gastrointestinal symptoms recently, it could be a condition called cyclosporiasis. For somebody who has that condition, it can be quite debilitating, although it usually doesn't kill you. But there's a lot of concern about this condition. Dr. Luis Marcos is professor of medicine with tenure in the Renaissance School of Medicine at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. He's also the director for the Infectious Diseases Fellowship Program at Stony Brook Medicine and a clinical researcher on tick illnesses, which we love up here, Dr. Marcos, and the principal investigator of a clinical trial of Lyme disease with and other conditions. So thank you for joining me on Health Cetera in the Catskills today, Luis Marcos.
Yeah, thank you so much for the invitation.
Yes. So what is cyclosporiasis?
Sure. So cyclospora is a parasite. And it's a parasite of a single cell parasite that occasionally causes diarrhea in the tropics. Here, what's happening is that cyclospora, it has come because of the summer. In the summer, the warm weather and the temperatures are very friendly for cyclospora to survive in the greens and vegetables. And occasionally can cause diarrhea in humans. But now we are seeing a very high number of cases, by the way, in the U.S. And the reasons behind that could be related to the increase on diagnostics. So the tests are more sensitive to diagnose cyclospora. That's one thing, because in the past, we used to do only a smear, and we have to do with the special stainings to demonstrate the parasite. But these days we have genetic testing for the parasite in mostly all commercial labs. So that's why also could be that reason. But this cyclospora, may cause diarrhea for 1 or 2 weeks and usually goes away. But it's, for some reason, we are seeing an increased number. So maybe related to other reasons, and I don't think it's only one source in common. I think that there has to be several sources because it's all over the U.S.
Yes. Well, I was just reading that Michigan really has an explosion of it. And New York State is not far behind from what I understand.
Yeah, we have a lot of people here, and we, doctors, we order these very fancy diagnostic tests to diagnose any pathogen that may cause diarrhea, any bacteria, any parasite, any virus. This particular panel contains 23 or more, testing for different organisms. One of them is cyclospora. And so once we have these diarrheas in the summer, what we do is to do this panel. We recently, we've been using this a lot. I'm talking recently about the last 5 years or so. So we've been able to diagnose faster, bacteria or parasites or viruses causing these diarrheas.
So you've used the word parasite a couple of times. Explain to people what that means. What's a parasite?
Sure. So a parasite is an organism that can just live in your guts or in animals without causing any disease. So what's happening is that at some point the parasite will wake up and cause disease in humans. And we are not talking about worms. This is just one single cell parasite, microscopically, cannot be seen with our eyes. Mm-hmm. It's a very single cell organism, and particularly likes to cause infection or disease in the guts, in our bowels. And that disruption on the bowels may cause diarrhea for a couple of weeks or so. Now, The importance also is that this parasite, as far as I know, the only host are humans.
Mm.
So this is transmitted from a human being to the environment with the stools, and the environment gets contaminated, and therefore also may contaminate the greens or vegetables if these are irrigated with contaminated water, and then it can survive and gets into the markets, you know, and people get sick by eating them. It's very difficult to kill. We cannot just wash the vegetables and greens or fruits with water and that's it. It's very difficult to kill this parasite. That's why, even though we are saying in media that washing very well the fruits, you know, can decrease the risk, that may not be totally true.
Mm.
The best is just to, number one, to cook. If you boil the vegetables, like, let's say, you know, you want to cook them and boil them at 70 degrees Celsius or above, then yes, you will kill the parasite. But other techniques may not kill the parasites, or either using bleach or Clorox or whatever is not going to kill the parasite. Mm. The only way to kill it is to boil it.
It's a hardy little thing.
It is, and it is coming the summer. And we see this quite a lot in the tropics, where the conditions are optimal and the sanitation is not that great in other places. But here in the U.S., it's quite, I'm quite surprised to see this large outbreak, and so far we haven't identified the sources.
So it could be that somehow water that's contaminated with human sewage, human waste, and then is used to water the fields is a source of that contamination. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
And I just want to share with people here. So up in the rural Catskill region, we have a lot of farms, but they're local farms. And my understanding is that unless they are near a water source, a major farm that may be using contaminated water, we really don't have to worry about our local farms and the produce from our local farms. It's more what's in the grocery store in packages may have been transported, and this spora, this parasite, has been festering in the produce that's bagged at the store. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree that, you know, if the water that's being used in local farms are clean, are not contaminated, you know, with human stools, of course, you know, then there is no reason to be concerned. And this is not local farms, most likely causing the trouble. This is national. So this means that this is coming from a major, companies that sell, you know, greens and vegetables.
Yeah.
This is not related to local farms.
Yeah, good. And my understanding is too that as you talked about the vegetables, it's vegetables. I also understand that raspberries have been implicated because they have all those bumps on them, and the cyclospora can just embed themselves. Even if you rinse the raspberries, they can embed themselves in the spaces there.
Right. So historically, you know, strawberries or raspberries has been linked to cyclospora outbreaks historically.
Yeah.
And so, but it's not just that. But you're right. Even if you rinse with water the strawberries, still, you know, the parasite can be in somewhere there and difficult to clean or take them away. But also, it could be lettuce, greens, vegetables, other fruits. You know, it could be in any one of those, by the way, not just on strawberries. Yeah.
Yeah, and does freezing them make a difference? Will freezing kill the spora?
Difficult to kill this spore. Even if you freeze them, they may waken up later on.
Mm.
So, no, yeah, it's difficult. The only way is to boil. For now, be away from, you know, fruits and vegetables. And even if you have 1 or 2 days of diarrhea and goes away, then that's it. I mean, it can be anything.
Yeah.
But now, since we are more aware of this, more patients with mild diarrhea are going to the clinics to be tested, And perhaps that's also why we are seeing the real, you know, spectrum of the number of cases, the real impact in public health. In the past, we only test, you know, when your diarrhea is like for a week or 2 weeks, then we test them. But now I have received a lot of calls from primary care doctors asking what's the best test to do because patients are complaining of some diarrhea and they just want to be tested.
So my understanding is that the symptoms for a cyclosporiasis actually differ from like norovirus, which is the bug that, you know, spreads on cruise ships all the time. And that it's different in one way. The symptoms are different because you won't necessarily, if I eat that raspberry that's contaminated with cyclospora today, I may not start to show the gastrointestinal symptoms for a week or even longer from when I've eaten them. Is that right?
Yeah, there are differences between a virus and a parasite. So the virus, the incubation period, so from the time that you are in contact with the virus and to develop symptoms is usually 24, 48 hours. Norovirus immediately will cause nausea, vomiting, and explosive diarrhea 5 times a day for 2 or 3 days, and then will go away. Cyclospora, it takes 7 days on average for you to get in, develop the symptoms after being contaminated with a parasite. And then slowly diarrhea, first is explosive, and then every day 1 or 2 times for 1 or 2 weeks. And in the second week is when patients are concerned about why have they developed this diarrhea for 2 weeks, and that's when they go to the hospital. In norovirus, usually, you know, diarrhea goes away in 24, 48 hours.
So, are there any other symptoms to watch out for?
Symptoms like fevers also may be related to cyclospora, but mostly diarrhea is the most important one. This parasite does not go into the brain or into the lungs or to the heart. It just stains the bowels, very different than bacteria or viruses that can spread to other parts of the body. The best is to get hydration and call your doctor if you have more than 3 to 5 days of diarrhea. Sometimes in the summer, you may have diarrhea for 1 day or so because of several factors. Because in the summer, you know, temperatures are high, and if you leave food outside, the freeze, you know, may get a little bit contaminated with bacteria, nothing major. But if the diarrhea lasts for 3 days or more, then it's a good idea to talk to your doctor.
Yeah, and I just want to emphasize, we are an older community up here in the Catskills. And for older people, once you have these gastrointestinal symptoms, particularly the diarrhea or vomiting, you can get dehydrated very easily. And that can be really a crisis for an older person. And if you're not paying attention to it, you can end up in the emergency room. So given if I'm having this diarrhea and nausea, I'm not wanting to eat much, the hydration, what is your advice about drinking water versus Gatorade versus other kinds of liquids?
Sure. Any electrolyte contain or base solutions are recommended, of course. If you, for the elderly in particular, those who have risk factor for heart disease, like heart failure or lung disease, or they have kidney problems, right? So if you have more than 1 or 2 days diarrhea and you are unable to tolerate fluids, then you should come to the doctor. And it's very important, you know, that you should come, because what I was explaining before is that for a healthy person, you know, you can tolerate a diarrhea for 1 or 2 days, you drink water and you're fine. But if you have risk factors, that any risk factors that can modify or change your blood pressure, since if you get dehydrated, your blood pressure may drop, and then your heart may suffer, then best is to go to the doctor. If you have a kidney problem and you get dehydration, then your kidneys will suffer. So best is to get hydrated. And if you cannot tolerate water or electrolytes-based product solutions, then come to the emergency department.
And is there a treatment for cyclospora?
Yes. There is an antibiotic based on sulfas that can be given easily to the patient to treat cyclospora. We usually are careful with this antibiotic in people who have kidney problems, but we don't need to use a high dose of this antibiotic because the parasite is not going anywhere else except the bowels. Mm. So we just need a low dose of sulfas. It goes into the bowels immediately in less than 2 hours or so, and it will start killing very quickly the parasite.
So if I think I may have cyclosporiasis, I've got diarrhea that's pretty bad, I'm feeling nauseous, and maybe I've vomited, and it's lasted for 24 to 48 hours, what should I do?
I think the best would be to get tested, because you may have cyclospora, but you may also have something else. Mm. And it's important, you know, for example, in the summer we have bacteria like E. coli or Shigella or Salmonella that may be also causing these outbreaks. And we see these, you know, sometimes in the hospital. It's not a surprise. And the treatment for those are different from cyclospora. So it's important if the diarrhea or the nausea or vomiting is causing a significant change in your life in 24, 48 hours, then visit the doctor, get tested, and get treated according to what the test results are become positive.
If people would like more information about cyclosporiasis, do you have a good source that you can refer them to?
Yeah, I think the best source it would be the Department of Health, New York State, or the CDC. I think those are the best sources.
Great. Now, since I have you on here and you're an expert in tick-borne disease, I have another question for you, because the tick problem is horrible up here, although it's also horrible, as I was reading up about your work, it's also horrible on Long Island. In fact, I think it may be even worse on Long Island with the ticks and tick-borne illnesses. So one of the things that I have been told, but somebody recently tried to say it wasn't true, is that if you've had a tick bite, if you pull a tick off of you within 24 to 48 hours, that it's good to take one dose of doxycycline. What's your opinion of that?
Yeah, so if you recognize a deer tick engorge on you, that when we say 24, 48 hours, it's usually a diagnosis on the microscope when we see that the tick is engorged. And there are some measurements there that we can tell if the tick has been more than 24, 48 hours. Usually when the tick is engorged, then we assume it has been there for more than 1 day. And therefore, you qualify for prophylaxis with doxycycline, a single dose of 200 milligrams, that will reduce your chances to get Lyme disease in about 80 to 70%. It's not 100%, just to let you know that. Mm. And so important thing will be to watch for symptoms the next 4 weeks after the tick bite. And the deer tick does not only transmit Lyme disease. One thing,
yes.
That's one important point. The second important point is that more than 90% of our patients with Lyme disease here in Long Island did not recognize a tick bite.
Mm.
Yeah, so when a patient presents with the fevers, the summer flu, with the bullseye rash, or no bullseye rash, but with a block in the heart or swelling of the knees, you know, usually those patients did not recognize a tick bite.
Mm.
So they just show up with a disease. Usually happens 1 or 4 weeks after the tick bite. But those who recognize the tick bite and they tell you that they got a tick bite and the tick was engorged and it was a deer tick, then we recommend single dose of doxycycline to be taken within 3 days of the tick bite.
Mm.
We don't recommend 1 week or 2 weeks for a tick bite of doxycycline. We only recommend single dose.
And that the dosage of that single dose is how much?
is 200 milligrams.
200 milligrams, mm-hmm.
So each capsule or each tablet has 100 milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
So you take two capsules.
Two capsules.
With a lot of water, and you may feel nausea, and some people have thrown up. Oh. After the doxycycline, so that had to be careful as well.
Oh, okay. Because I've taken it and haven't had those symptoms. I'm glad I didn't. And I expect that you probably also recommend to save that tick in case you do get symptoms. You have the tick in it that can then be tested. You can put it on a tape it to a card or put it in a bottle. Is that what you recommend?
What I recommend is to identify the tick. So why is that? Because if it's a long-start tick, we don't do prophylaxis because there are no studies on that. That's number one. Number two is that most of the tick bites are benign. They do not transmit. So if you have a tick bite, the first thing is not to panic. The first thing is to identify the tick. If it's a deer tick and it's engorged, prophylaxis with doxycycline. If it's a long start tick, nothing to do except to watch for symptoms.
Mm.
Exactly. So we do not recommend the testing of the tick itself for pathogens because you may find five things on the tick, but the transmission is not 100% effective.
Mm.
So, yeah, the tick can have five things, but it doesn't mean that you will have the five things if you take a tick bite. Most likely, you will not have any one of those. But if the tick has been engorged, then that's important because then we can recommend the doxycycline prophylaxis, and that's it.
Uh-huh. I see. Well, thank you. I'm really glad I was able to counter what somebody said about the doxycycline and not taking it, because I've taken it when I have a tick bite, and so far, knock on wood, I've not gotten any of those tick-borne illnesses. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on to Health Center in the Catskills today. We've been talking with Dr. Luis Marcos, a professor of medicine with tenure in the Renaissance School of Medicine at SUNY Stony Brook. He's also the director for the Infectious Disease Fellowship Program at Stony Brook Medicine. Thank you so much for coming on to Health Center in the Catskills today.
You are very welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.